said that, that every spiritual family needs togetherness, and we define the church as God's spiritual household. What could we say is the definition of a household? What is the definition of a household? A house or household? What do we say a house or household is?
A place you can be yourself.
A place where you can be yourself, yes. What else? You validate it. What else? What else is the purpose of a house or household? Discipline takes place. Instruction. We learn about God's love. You remember that? These are important because family is not just biological. Family is not just biological. Yeah? And so we said, it's a place where you can be yourself, where you're validated, loved, protected, disciplined, where you develop values and beliefs, or someone special, and you aren't expected to be perfect. We said that in the Garden of Eden, and God created Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. What was the first institution that God created? What was the first institution that God created?
Marriage.
Marriage. And then after marriage came what? Family. Family, yes. The problem is in our world today, we get that mixed up. Folk want to live together, check up together, and then it is time to get married. That was not God's design. Adam and Eve, before sin, the Bible says they were naked and unashamed. They had no concept of evil, no concept of sin, no concept of nakedness. Until Satan, the serpent, beguiled Eve and sin entered the world, and then after they realized that they were naked, what did they do? What did Adam and Eve do? They hid themselves. And we do that today. We still do that today. We play hide and seek with God. We think that God doesn't see us. And so we play this game. If I don't acknowledge it, if I just ignore it, it'll go away, and I'll deal with it tomorrow. And so what Jesus came to do, this is not in our lesson, what Jesus came to do at the cross is to restore our Eden status. To restore our Eden status. That was relationship. Family. And so we struggle. We struggle. One of our greatest struggles as men and women, human beings, is to have family issues. There are no perfect families. Did you know that? There are no perfect marriages, there are no perfect husbands, no perfect wives. We are imperfect. And Jesus is the one that makes us complete. And so what is the church? The church is God's, it is God's institution where he helps us to be family. Yes? So what you miss in your biological family, God will replace in the church. If you need a husband, a wife, a father, a mother, God will replace that. Whatever did Lucas have stolen, God will replace for us. And so, the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles is our foundation. It is our foundation. It is called the Acts of the Apostles because that is what it is. And so the first church started when? When did the church start? When did the church start? On the day of Pentecost, according to Acts chapter 2. Yes? And the first gospel preacher was who? Peter. Yeah? You remember that Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Not a church, not some church, my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he said he would give them the keys to the kingdom. What do keys do? Open doors. So what did Peter do? Peter used his keys on the day of Pentecost to institute or to inaugurate God's spiritual household of the church. So we need togetherness, not just physical. And what do we say the definition of a household
what is this, what is the two Greek words that we use for house or household? What was the first one? Begin with a K.
Koinonia.
Koinonia. And what was the second word? Oikos. You get the Greek word oikos. Yeah, there's two words. And those words, the context defines the definition. It means fellowship, communion, togetherness. Yeah? And so, this will go. He said that the house, it was a place where all concerns of life were addressed or not. Correspondence was handled by slave delivery. Yeah, they didn't have internet and instant messenger and cell phones. So if you wanted to get a message to say that somebody died, you had to get one of your slaves to run to the next village to say X, Y, Z, or come and meet, whatever. You couldn't pick up a phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Old age concerns were also met in the household. They didn't have a department of works and pensions, social services, carers, they didn't have all that in the first century. So the house, or the household, the morning, was the place where those needs were met. Illness requiring physicians or health care took place. So let's look at Luke chapter 14. I'm sorry, Luke 4, 38 and 39. Luke chapter 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Chapter 4, if someone verse it, read verse 38 and 39.
Now he arose from the synagogue and entered Simon's house. For Simon's wife, he mortally sick with a high fever, and the maiden pressed him concerning her. So he stood around and refused the fever, and left her, and immediately she arose.
Okay, so here was Peter's mother-in-law. She was ill. And here Peter stepped in, healed her, rebuked the fever, and left her. The Bible says, immediately she arose and she served them. Orphan children were also in the household. In the Old Testament and New Testament, God has always made provision for two groups of people, widows and orphans. Widows and orphans were always God's concern. These were the most vulnerable and still remain in our society today. That's why even in the New Testament, a widow, not just any woman can be a widow that the church should support. She has to have qualifications to be a widow. Who should take care of widows first? The children, the family. Yes, that's scriptural. So we have a right to ask some questions. Okay, what, where's your son, where's your nephew, where's your family? Yeah? And if she's old enough to remarry, the Bible always sets in place safety mechanisms. God always sets the standard and then regulates the abuse. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. Education took place in the household. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You remember that verse? Or those verses. Education started at home. Yeah? We have a saying where I come from that says, what you do home, you do well. What you do home, you do well. If you're disrespectful outside the house, guess what? Disrespectful at home. If you don't take care of your business outside the house, huh? You have no respect for authority and those sorts of things. Where did that start? That started at home. Before you can inspect the fruit, you got to go to the root. Huh? That's why Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to tell me you're Christian. I ought to be able to do what? To see. Huh? I can wear a t-shirt that says Christian, a chain, a tattoo. And I believe in Jesus. No, it's how I live and how I conduct myself. What's on the inside? Remember, we talked about that? Comes out on the outside. That's just natural. Care and concern for the poor. Yeah? The Bible says in Galatians to do what? What does the Bible say? Galatians 6:1 says what? Galatians 6:1. I can quote it for you. Do good to all men, especially to those of the what? Household. Huh? Well, it's not 6:1, but it's in Galatians. Where is it? Oh, I like that. Thank you, brother. That's what we're supposed to do, correct each other. It's Galatians chapter 10 and verse 6:1 says, if your brother's overtaken a fall, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, lest you yourself be tempted. Thank you. That's what I mean. And so, do good to all men. What's that? Benevolence. But especially to those of what? The oikos. The household. It all starts where? It starts at home. So before we can take care of the folk on the outside, we got to do what? Take care of the folk on the inside. It was a place of identity and survival. I dare say, one of the things I appreciate about our African brethren, your names have meanings. Your name has meaning. Charity, purity, all of these names have a meaning. Yes. And so that is your identity, and you should try to live up to that name. You were the name. What does Christian mean? What does the word Christian mean?
Christ.
Christ. So, has anyone ever seen Jesus? No. But when you go to work, you are Jesus at your job. You are Jesus at the school. You are Jesus at the bus stop, at the hairdressers, at the grocery store. And so you got to be the best Jesus that people see. You are the light of the world. That's what Jesus said. You are the soul of the earth. What type of Jesus do your co-workers see? That's the question I'm going to ask myself. What's the definition of character? What's the definition of the word character? Character, write this down, is who you are when nobody's looking. Character is who you are when nobody's looking. Because none of us have ever seen Jesus. Hence of all. Being part of a household literally meant the difference between life and death. The word slavery has a negative connotation today, but slavery, there were slaves by force in the Old Testament and slaves by choice. Some people made themselves slaves in order to survive. Yeah? Do you know, I'm going to try to help somebody. Do you know that when you go to work, you are somebody's slave? Did you know that? Romans says that. You know what Romans said? Your boss is your master. You have the word landlord. Landlord. What does that mean? He is lord over those lands. And what do you owe the landlord? What do you owe the landlord?
Rent.
And so what are you going to do to get that rent paid? You got to do what? Go out and work. Don't stop working. Don't stop working. And so the Old Testament equated righteousness with the care of the hopeless into the household. Maybe that's what. Look at Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah. If you can get there first. Way over here. Zechariah chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. You got it?
Thus said the Lord of hosts, saying, as I keep true judgments, and chew mercy and compassion every man to the brother, and will pass down the widow and the fatherless, his stranger on the court. And I don't know if you imagine he will begin his brother in your heart.
Oh, that's deep. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, execute true justice. When do you want justice? When do you and I want justice? Under what circumstances do you and I want justice? When somebody wrongs us, huh?
You don't want to come to the police, you're going to come to the judge, you want justice.
Huh? Or when you wrong somebody, what do you want?
Mercy.
Yep, mercy. Huh? Why don't you want justice? Why don't you want justice? Because, you say that, you know, I can explain it. Huh? But it says execute true justice. Right? Now here's the remedy right here in verse number 7. Show mercy and compassion. What is mercy? What is mercy? What is mercy? You say, Lord, have mercy. What is mercy?
Forgiveness.
When do you want mercy? When you have wronged someone. When you trespass. Huh? And what's compassion? What did he say compassion means? Your pain in my heart. Huh? So, when someone trespasses against me, I ought to remember how I felt when I wanted mercy. When somebody trespasses against me, I ought to remember how I felt when I wanted mercy. You get that? But you know what we do? We get amnesia. We get amnesia, George. Huh? Because we want justice. I'm gonna fix it. I'm not gonna let this go. Huh? Compassion. Jesus was compassionate to you. How do you know that? Romans 5:8. Says what? Romans 5:8. God demonstrated his love towards us in that while we were what? Yet Christ died for us. He had compassion. And he showed us mercy. Why don't we show people mercy? Why don't we show people mercy? Because we don't want to. That's not how Jesus treated us. And so it says, show mercy and compassion, everyone to who? To his brother. Verse 10, do not oppress the widow or the fatherless. Why did he say that? Because God has always been the champion of widows and orphans. Huh? When you start messing with widows and orphans, it's gonna be some problems. The alien. Who's the alien? The foreigners. The folk that don't look like us, that don't talk like us, that don't eat the same food we do, that don't act like us. The alien or the poor, let none of you plan evil where? In his heart against his brother. If we did all of this, we will need the police. We will need fire on burglar alarms, bars on our windows. We will need locks on our doors. Huh? We will need all of this. It also defined unrighteousness as the neglect of responsibility. Look at Job chapter 31. We read the book of Job. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job. Chapter 31. Verses 16. We're not going to read all of it. I would encourage you. One second. In this Job chapter 31, I would encourage you to read this entire chapter and circle the word if. It's in this chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Many times. If. Can you just read Brother Lucky verses 16 through 21?
The eye will tell the poor in Isaiah, for I have called the heart of the widow to say, for I have eaten and nourished myself alone, and fatherless I have not eaten thereof. For from my youth you were brought up with me between the father, and I have guided her from my mother's womb. If I have seen any perish or want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his noise have not been blessed me, and if it were not warmed with the face of my cheek, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless, when I saw my head in the gate.
And verses 22 and 23.
Then let my hand fall from my shoulder blade, and my hand be broken from the bone. For destruction from God was a terror to me, and by reason of his highness I could not
endure. Yeah, if I come with these things, I am my brother's keeper. This is God's household. Read all of that chapter carefully and consider what you are saying here. And so, in the book of Acts, you see the word house or household many times. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts chapter 5 and verse number 42. That's what.
And daily in the temple and in every house, you see not to teach and preach Jesus Christ.
In every house. Yeah. There were no church buildings. They didn't have church buildings back then. They were synagogue. They went from house to house, the Bible says. In every house. Acts chapter 16, verse number 15. Verse 15.
15 says, and when she was baptized, and her household, he saw us saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there, and he constrained us.
Yes, now this was Lydia, she was a seller of purple. In chapter, that same chapter, verses 25 through 31, we see the story of Paul and Silas were put into prison for preaching Jesus. And so can you read verses 25 through 31?
At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoner heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison are looking out of the ship, out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and killed himself, supposing that the prisoner had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and the house. And he spake unto him the word of the Lord and all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and went astride and was baptized, he and all his straightway.
So here we see the Philippian jailer was given charge for guarding Paul and Silas. And the earthquake took place, he thought that the person had escaped and was about to kill himself because the Roman government said, the law said, that if the prisoner escaped, the prison guard would receive the same penalty as the prisoner, which was death. So Paul said, do yourself no harm, we're still here. And what does the Bible say? That he and all his household were baptized. What does that say to us? When this is God's house, I dare say that not everybody in that house was biological in his household. Perhaps he had slaves as well. When people come into the church house, thank God for Brother Luke, who asks Andy, who's been visiting with us for quite some time, what hinders you from being baptized? Each of us have a responsibility. This is God's house, and God wants his house to be full. Merle, who left last week, she's not a Christian. Each of us have a responsibility and have a responsibility to ask, are you a Christian? Yes. Why? Because God wants everybody to be saved. Don't assume that just because somebody is here that they're a Christian. Yes. This is God's house. We have a responsibility. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to whom? Every creature. And if we don't do it, nobody else is going to do it. And God will hold each of us accountable. God will hold each of us accountable for that. And so Lydia and her household, the Philippian jailer as well, in Acts chapter 16, verses 31 and 34. We also see Crispus in Acts chapter 8, and verse number 18, sorry. 18 and verse 8.
This one, the chief without understanding, believe in the Lord with all his heart, and whenever he chants, let him believe and baptize.
And baptize. What are we here for? What does God's house exist for? What's the evidence of a Christian? What is the evidence of a Christian? Another Christian. God saved you to save somebody else. Did you know that? How did you become a Christian? Somebody was interested enough in you to have a study with you. Some preacher, some teacher. Yeah? And so we have a responsibility to reproduce ourselves. That's all of us. And so, Acts chapter 20 and verse 20 to the Ephesian elders, Paul getting ready to go to prison. He called for the Ephesian elders. And Acts chapter 20 and verse 20 says what?
And now I kept that nothing that was profitable unto you, but I assured you and I taught you from the beginning and from house to house.
From house to house. That's koinonia. Fellowship. Evangelism. So we have a responsibility to be involved in one another's lives as well. That's togetherness. Togetherness is not just being in the same room. It's not just about being in the same room. It's about us understanding our purpose. Our purpose is to be like Christ. In Romans chapter 16 and verse number 5. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 5. See that? And so in the first century, the interesting thing is most people, when we write letters, we put the greeting or salutation at the end, you know, kind regards, but they wrote the greeting at the beginning. And here Paul, he says in verse 3 in Acts chapter 16, greet Aquila and Priscilla. We see them in the book of Acts, this great couple. My fellow workers in Christ Jesus, and then he said, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. And he goes on in verse 15, the church that is in their house. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, a very familiar verse. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 17. That's what? Where will judgment begin? Peter tells us, says that's what? For the time has come.
The house of God.
And if it all
begin at us, what shall the end of be of them being all the spirit of God?
Yeah. Judgment. God is not going to only judge us for what we've done, but also for what we've not done. 28, verse 18. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. He said, go into where? What does that mean? To you and all. That's personalized. That go into all the world. Is he saying for us to get on a plane and go down to Tahiti, Tasmania, Fiji, South Africa? Is he saying, is that what Jesus is saying? Go into all the world. Everywhere. Your world is not my world. Did you know that? And my world is not your world. Now you, where I work, you need a badge to get in the door. And then getting another door. So you can't just walk in there. So the people on my job is my responsibility to evangelize. The people on your job, the place you shop, the place you get your hair done, the place you get your nails, that's your job. Go into all the world, and God will hold each of us responsible for our work. It's why, because he wants his house to be full. That's it. That's our job. And so, judgment will begin where? At the house of God. And it says here, it's what Peter says. He says that, and if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? You hear folks say, well, you know, I've been trying to persuade Job to become a Christian for 5 years, and, you know, he died. Listen, you don't know how many opportunities Job had to obey the gospel before he got on that sick day. The Bible says to remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before this dark day has come. Yeah. God gives all of us opportunity. 24 hours a day, every one of us here. You know right? He said, well, I'm going to give you an extra hour of George. Questions? Yeah. Comments? Yes. Yes.
I think we should have a take understanding of a little bit of the issue of
passing. What's that?
The issue of passing.
Okay. Specifically.
Secondly, when we compare it to the late 21st centuries, I think there's a fall in it from the creation of the world and even to the 4th century churches and all that like that. I think there's seen a little bit unity in the family where they have one goal, one direction. What Adam has said, everybody goes along with it.
Yes.
But in this century, I think the statistics was so poor. We might not be in the church, but I'm just saying. We may not be one man. That reality is no one there. That anointing is no one there. How do we rebuild our household like how it was in ancient days? Remember what Joshua that said, who shall you serve today? There's confidence in him. Not asking the wife of the children. But he can understand that at the state that I am with my family,
yeah.
I and my family, we serve the Lord.
Yeah.
You look also when Paul talks about Moses and Abraham that I know him, he can rule his house well.
Yeah.
What's happening to us today? I'm quite the reality that when the governor when the gate man found that the Paul and Silas were out of the prison, he was sure when he had the gospel, everything now, he was baptized with his whole household. Today, I want to believe some of the household will not even follow us. I'm just trying to see how we can balance it also, and we can also be focused even when we are there, when we have a good farm household. How do you concentrate it that doesn't fall apart?
Yeah.
And the one that have carried also have the ability also. So that we have the same goal that we are going in direction and everybody's following it. But when we go in direction, as if we are forcing them to go along with you, we will not end up in the same goal at the end of the day.
That's good. That's good. That is the challenge that has, that is the challenge universal. But Jesus has answered that question in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Is it Matthew 7? Matthew 6. Remember the Matthew 6:25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? What you're describing is balance. It's balance. Yeah? How do you, as a father, as a Christian husband, as a leader of your household, create balance in yourself and your family? Because quite often, we all have different priorities, and what is on a different page. Unity does not necessarily mean uniformity, but we must each ask ourselves what is most important. Because the world is calling your children, our young people, even us. You know, the new iPhone is coming up, the new dress, the new whatever. You're thinking, I've got to have that. Something else is being advertised, and all of these things are pulling at you. Then the church, on the other side, the Bible is saying to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You remember the story of Mary and Martha? Mary and Martha. What was Mary doing? Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And what was Martha doing? She was back in that kitchen, had the foo-foo doing. Huh? She was cooking up the storm, biscuits, pots going, oven was on. And what did she say to Jesus? You better get Mary to come on back here and help me get this food going. Huh? And then what happens? And so was what Martha doing wrong? Was what Mary was doing wrong? What was the problem? He said, Martha, Martha. Huh? You're worried about all of this stuff, but Mary has chosen the good one. That's balance. Because it's like us, every last one of us, what we understand. See, Sunday comes before Monday. What is Sunday? Sunday is worship. And what's Monday? Work. Worship comes before work. Huh? But you know what we do? We prioritize the thing based on what we value the most. And so your job as a husband and father is to help your family to create balance. Do you know what the word husband means? Husband. You know what husband means? It's a house band. Like an elastic band. The father, the husband holds the family together. It's like a thermostat, huh? Like a thermostat, he creates the balance in the household. Yeah? And so, when mom is out of balance and the children are out of balance, it's your job to say, let's come on back here. So, we went to Albania last year, and there was a workshop by Trey Morgan. Had a workshop on marriage and family, and he gave all of these tips. I'll give you one idea. You say, when the family comes together for dinner, we're all gonna sit at the dinner table, and we're gonna have a jar over here. And what goes inside of that jar? All the mobile phones go inside of that jar. Huh? What? Why? Because because his family tell him, you know what we're doing? You look on the bus, you're texting the folk downstairs or texting the folks upstairs to say dinner's ready. And while you're supposed to be talking, everyone is busy, distracted. Look, this is family time because this is very important. Now, if you don't prioritize it, then guess what the family's not going to do? Huh? What do we say? What you do him, or what you do what you do him, and vice versa. So it starts him. Now, it's not to say you're going to be perfect. None of us have it all together, but we can all start from somewhere. You can't unscramble scrambled eggs. But you can start from where you are and listen, I didn't know that. So now we're gonna make it a priority to say we're gonna turn those phones off, put them in this jar, and we're gonna get back to the old fashioned talking across kitchen tables, house to house. You start with that one little thing. How was your day? Brother Trey Morgan said this is what he would do. He has grown children even today, and he will send them a text message saying, I'm thinking about you. What can I pray for you today? That's an open question. It's not how, are you okay? Yes. You know boys. Yes, no. But you say, what can I pray for you today? Now, they may not answer you right away. You keep doing it. And they say, Dad, pray for me. I've got a job interview. I've got this going on, blah, blah, blah. That's deliberate. Once a week. You see that? You've got to be creative. Think outside the box. What are we trying to do? We are trying to bring some togetherness. We know in all the chaos and busyness in our lives, we're going to slow down for just a little bit and say, how was your day? What did you learn in school? What can you show me? You see that? And this is deliberate. Yeah? Our lives are so busy because we make it busy. What does busy mean? Remember I told you about that? Being on the sinking ship. That's what busy stands for. But I'm so busy. Really? Either you slow down or God will slow you down. Did you know that? I ended up in the hospital many years ago when I was in America. Almost passed out, I was a preacher. Went to the hospital, spent about a day or two in there. They said, oh, nothing wrong with you. Go home and take an aspirin every day. And they sent me a $10,000 bill. Why? Because I was burned out. Burned out. Running on E. Yeah? And so, seek ye first, Matthew 6, 30, we know that verse. We all know that verse. Seek ye first, that's your priority. The kingdom of God, God's business first. And all these things shall be added unto you. And so our needs, all of us can help each other. All of us can help each other. I talk to folk in here and say, how are you doing? You need to slow down. You may have had that conversation with me, or you've had that thought you still me. But we have a responsibility. And so, next week, Lord willing, we're going to move on to the new lesson 3. Whatever spiritual family needs, open hearts. Open hearts. Not open heart surgery. Open hearts. Yeah? This week, I want us to consider how we can develop that togetherness in our own homes and also in the Lord's church. Because the reality is the true test is what happens after the last amen. When you leave this place, when we say amen to each other after the last song on Sunday, what do we do? How do we treat each other? What are we doing as a household to bring that together? Any questions or comments? Brother George.